I speak to you in God's holy name, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. The gospel this morning is the gospel that is foretelling of the coming of the Holy Spirit and the foretelling of the understanding of God as a Trinity, as an active divine Trinity where Jesus, who was from the beginning of creation, is with God. And the Holy Spirit, which is from the beginning, is with God the Creator. And the three are one and indistinguishable, one from the other. It's a manifestation. It's a dance. It's a holy, active dance which invites us into the dance. And so, as we await the coming of the Holy Spirit to celebrate it next Sunday, we are invited into the dance of the divine. All of us have God's divinity living in us. All of us have God's divinity living in us. Some days we don't know that. There are days in which we may do or think or say things that when we look back at it afterwards, we think, that wasn't very divine of me. And I'm sure we've all been there. But that divinity nevertheless resides in us. We are never away from God. And more importantly, God is never away from us. It's just some days we have closed our eyes to it or our hearts to it. But I want us to really understand that there is divinity alive within us. God the Creator, God in Jesus through the love expressed by Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit through the energy of the Holy Spirit alive and vivacious in each and every one of us. We have in the readings from the book of the Acts an example of it today. Here we have the coming of Timothy and Paul and Silas into a community in Europe, the first European community they've gathered in. And here they came upon a situation where a young woman was being human trafficked. Let's put it what it is. She was being controlled by some people that were making money off her mental illness. With her mental illness, she was acting out in ways that were foreign to the people around her and them. And so they would put her almost like in a circus situation, and then people would pay to come see her act out in, we know now, mentally ill ways. And these three, because they were inculcated with godliness in them and aware of it, came and healed her of her mental illness. And the owners of this girl that they were trafficking were furious because they now knew she was had a normal baseline and she would never make them any more money. They couldn't put her into any kind of a freak show. And so they captured these three disciples and had them stripped and beaten with rods and put in prison. You can picture the scene. And they stirred up some other people saying, these guys are strangers. They come bearing some kind of faith that's not our faith. Not our house faith. They're all pagans back there, and they had house faiths and house gods. And they didn't understand Yahweh. They didn't understand the Trinity. But Paul, Timothy, and Silas did. And they didn't give up their faith. They took the beating, and they're put in prison. And then there was an earthquake. And the earthquake opened up and all their chains were loosened. And they could have run away. And the jailer was afraid. He knew that he was responsible for their being kept in prison. And he was about to commit suicide, fall on his sword. And the disciples stopped him and said, no, wait, we're still here. And that so moved him that he became the first European disciple of Jesus. That he was baptized. He brought these prisoners to his own home, and he cared for their wounds, and he became a member of the church. Maybe he wasn't the first Christian in Europe, because there was already a little church that they met in on the outside. But he certainly was the first recorded person to become a European Christian. We may marvel at this faith, but this faith is translated to us today. And what we are called upon this morning, as we think about the divinity of God alive in each and every one of us, is allowing ourselves to be the instruments of God as we prepare for the coming of the Holy Spirit next week to celebrate that. We think about the Holy Spirit alive in us. I want to tell you something that happened, probably 20 years ago now. I was the Protestant chaplain at Bowdoin Penitentiary, which is outside of Red Deer. And there was a correctional officer. We have segregation. It's in the news lately. It's a prison within a prison. And it's solitary confinement. And you have a row of these cells. And it's all like in a blockhouse, all concrete and steel. And you put in there, and you're confined into your cell 23 and a half hours a day. Some of you have worked there. You know what segregation is all about. And you're allowed out one day for half an hour for exercise, and the next day you're allowed out half an hour for a shower. But the rest of the time you spend in this little prison, about the size of the room that used to be the baptistry here, is your prison size, your cell size. Anyway, at Bowdoin, one day, one of the guys who was in, pretty violent, out-of-control person, and the guard was walking by his cell, and he was sloppy. They had open barred cells at Bowdoin. The ones that I've worked in and here in BC are all concrete walls, but not there. And this guy reached through, grabbed the guard by around his neck, pulled him up to him, pulled out his gun, pulled out his keys, let himself out of the cell, threw the guard into the cell, locked him in, went down the cell block and opened up all the other cells, 16 other cells or 15 other cells in the cell block in segregation, ran out, and the doors were all open. The guys inside, the 15 guys, just sat in their cell. When they knew it was safe, one of them went out and pushed the panic button and then went back into his cell and waited. And the guards came running in, of course, didn't know what was going on because their guy wasn't answering the phone. And they came in and found him locked up in the cell and the 15 prisoners sitting there. Now, 8 of them I knew pretty well because I would go and see them every other day. They were chapel guys. I'd take them communion. And they remembered this from the book of the Acts. And they said, we weren't going to run. We knew we had committed a crime in the prison. And we're trying to get ourselves back to life and be straight again. And we encouraged the others not to run, and they didn't. We also, we're not stupid. If we ran, we'd get a worse sentence later. And we didn't want anything more. And so they sat there. And the guards were astounded that these men had not run away. But 8 of them who had influenced the other 7 had their own understanding of the divine alive within them. That they needed to apply their faith. That it wasn't just something that they loved singing the hymns and they loved the prayers and they loved receiving the sacrament. But they had to apply it in their life in this moment when the energy was there to escape. And you can understand it. But they stayed where they were. And the guards talked about that incident for months. And they'd ask me about it, and I said, well, those guys put their faith in action. What are you doing with your faith? Fair question. And that's the question today for us. we have the benefit of knowing the Holy Spirit is with us. We have the understanding of what it means to love as Jesus taught us. And we are alive with the idea of the beautiful creation that God has given to us and the life we have. And the love we have for other people and they have for us. And the gift of life. So what are we doing with our gifts of God alive within us in the midst of the world that we are living in now? And that's the challenge I want to leave you with today as we prepare our hearts and minds for the celebration of the Holy Spirit next summer. God is alive in all of us. We're going to receive the sacrament in a few minutes to which we're all invited. But what do we do with this gift of life and beauty of the Holy Spirit? I know some of you do many things right now. But others of us maybe have never thought about applying that. How do I intentionally in my life use the gift of God? And I pray that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes and our minds and our hearts to the possibilities. For we are God alive in the world. May God bless us all as we journey. Amen.